Well, welcome back to the Church Tech 101 podcast. This is episode 5, and it is called Get Out of the Loop. Let's talk about that. When I'm watching TV with my wife and we see a show or something, and there's a live sound system, it always happens. Somebody steps up to the mic and instantly there's a woo. And it makes me crazy. That sound is so bad that that's become just like a standard, like this, the mic is on. It ranks right up there with people walking up to the mic and whacking it with their hand to see if the system is on. Just speaking to it. So that's another one of my pet peeves, but we're getting off course. So I wanted to talk today about feedback loops. And a lot of times it's just called feedback, but I like feedback loop. And the reason I do is because it is descriptive when I'm teaching about what feedback is, because it is actually a loop. So feedback occurs when your speaker, when your microphone can hear the speaker system. So the speaker system is loud enough that it's getting back into the mic. And when it does that, the system amplifies it, pushes it through even louder, and it gets back into the mic even louder. And then it just pushes it out louder again, and it becomes this endless loop where it's just growing and growing in volume. And that's how the feedback loop works. And the reasons for feedback are generally pretty simple. One of them is that the mic is in a bad location relative to where the speaker is. And I've seen this in churches where the speakers are placed at the back of the platform, and then all the mics are in the front, and they're constantly having problems with feedback because all the mics are just too close to the speakers, or they're in front. And so it's just easy for a feedback loop to start. In a better scenario, speakers are out in front of the microphones or in front of the platform. And that will help a lot with feedback problems because it's harder for the output of the speaker, the noise or sound from the speaker, to get into your microphone. The other thing is that a lot of times volume is just so turned up so high that feedback will start because it's just loud enough that the mic can pick up the speaker. And so that can be a problem, but there are other issues with that too. And that's because feedback happens on particular frequencies. So it might be that that frequency in your room is just really stronger than others. And it's just more prone to feedback. And we'll talk about how that can get fixed at some point too. Sort of related to that, is that often the mic's too far away from whatever you're miking. So this kind of happens with soloists or people that you just hand a mic to, and they want to hold the mic kind of down, you know, at their stomach. And it's kind of like a magic stick. If I'm touching it with my hand, it will pick me up. But people don't understand how a mic works. And so I tell soloists or singers, I say, hold your mic right below your chin like it's a glass of water, and you're about to take a drink of it. And I think that's a good thing. It kind of gives an angle. Some people will say, eat the mic, which means hold it right in front of your mouth. And I don't really have a problem with that. But in our age of streaming video, it doesn't really look great when all your people are just holding this fist right in front of their face. It's hard to see their expressions. It's hard to see them smile, or even hard to see them say the words to the song. And so just kind of from that perspective, I am not a big fan of eat the mic just because it doesn't look great for streaming. I think you can hold it just below your mouth and get a really good sound out of it as well. Something else that I think is important is that in this mic is too far away scenario, I see this sometimes with like Christmas groups, or if you're trying to mic a Christmas play or a drama or something. That can be a problem because it's hard to just throw up a mic and then crank the volume all the way up to pick everybody up and then not have feedback. It just becomes an issue. And so, I'm sorry, you have to excuse me. I'm just getting over a cold, so that's why I'm a little growly today. But anyway, I see that a lot at Christmas time or special services or whatever, where we try to zone mic somewhere by just putting up one mic and covering just that area. And that can lead to feedback issues, especially if we're doing it with multiple microphones. Then we're creating a situation where that mic more easily picks up the speaker system and causes issues. Now, you can use the channel EQ on your board for that particular mic to help eliminate feedback problems. Some of your digital boards will actually have a live view that shows what the frequency for the feedback is, and then you can move one of your EQ settings over there and make a little cut to reduce the feedback. Now, if you're using an analog board still, the one without all the screens and moving faders, just has a bunch of knobs, you can still make adjustments, but you'll have to use probably a smartphone app to find out what the frequency of the feedback is. And I'm an Android guy, so I use an app called Spectroid, which I really like. I'm not sure what a good frequency finder would be for iDevices. I'm not positive. I think I had a couple I used to recommend, but sometimes they come and go, or they move into paid-only territory. So I was just going to recommend free ones. But there are different ones that use your phone's microphone to show what's happening. So just look up Spectrum Analyzer in the Apple Play Store or the Google Play Store. And then that'll help you find something that should be able to identify the frequency of your feedback. And then from there, you can use the knobs on your analog mixer to select that frequency or one that's close to it and make a small cut. Some of you don't have as many options in the analog world. You've only got three options and you can't change anything. So just pick one of the three that seems closest and make a small cut. Don't make a big cut. Don't turn that knob all the way down. In my rules of feedback, I have two. One is less is more, because you can get yourself into trouble. My rules of EQ, I have two. One is less is more, because you can get yourself into trouble real quick with a bunch of EQ cuts or boosts. And then the other one is always cut before you boost, because I'm not a fan of boosting different frequencies in the EQ. I'm a bigger fan of cutting things out, because when I remove things, I'm not turning up the volume on a particular frequency for EQ. And I don't want to do that. It ends up being a problem. So sometimes when you're looking through, you see like, man, the same EQ, the same frequency is feeding back on all my mics all the time, and I'm always having to cut it. Well, that might be a system-wide problem where you need to look at having a professional come in and do some system tuning for your speaker system. And I do not and I will not make a how-to video on this, because there are just too many variables that involve people knowing what they're doing and having experience. And I'm afraid that I would create more messes than I would fix if I tried to offer advice on that. There are some YouTubers who will offer advice to you about system tuning, but there are a lot of considerations, including the acoustics of your room and a bunch of other things, speaker placement, etc., that factor into system tuning. And so I don't recommend trying to do it on your own. The other thing a professional will do is look at your speaker placement. And that's not something that you can normally change unless you have like a portable system with stuff on stands. But you can't really, if you have an installed system, you can't really change where your speaker is. And sometimes that is the thing that is causing all the problems in your system. And so having a professional look at it and evaluate what's going on is a big plus. And they can recommend moving your speaker. I was just at a church not too long ago where we recommended that they just repoint the speaker that they had because of issues that it was giving them. So all those things are things that a professional will look at and know what to do and how to take care of it. And please, like, there are things that you can DIY, and I'm giving you advice on that. But know when you need to call somebody in to take a look at that. So I also wanted to mention that I have a video about this on my YouTube channel. Proclaim AV is the name of the YouTube channel, called Four Feedback Fixes. And it's just kind of a quick walkthrough of some of the things that we've talked about today, but with a more visual format and a feedback demonstration, a couple other things thrown in there. The YouTube channel has a lot of good resources on there. And so I would highly recommend that you check it out. Anyway, I hope that is helpful. And again, the system tuning is more important than I think people realize. I was just at a church not too long ago, I guess, and they had deleted the tuning on their system. Accident. Somebody had gone in and tinkered with it and didn't know what they were doing. And the system sounded terrible. It was basically unusable until I came back in and I figured out what had happened. And I was able to retrieve the file from the original system tuning and put it back in there from the guy who installed it originally. And all of a sudden, the system became good again and worked fine and was usable. And so that's stuff that once it's done, it's basically transparent to the system. It doesn't need tinkered with or played with or changed. It needs to be set up once properly and then not messed with by the user. Because when you change system tuning stuff, you change everything in the system and it can be a serious issue. The other time you'll want to have somebody come back in and look at system tuning is if you have changed something in your auditorium. So I was just in an auditorium where they had pulled carpet off the walls and put drywall up. Well, that is a major acoustical change in your space. Or I've been in situations where people have replaced the speaker system and they were still using the same old system tuning and EQ settings from the old speaker system. Well, that's a major part of your system. It's going to change everything. You need to start over from scratch with a new tune and new EQ for all the channels. It's like installing a new system. And so having somebody there to look at that is worth your time. Anyway, I feel like I've kind of rambled on a bit in this episode, but I hope that it's useful information. And please don't let feedback become something that is just part of your service, but take actions to make things better. Anyway, hope you have a great day. And we'll see you on the next episode.